God would come. Oh, thank you. Where we're praying that God would come, whereas of course he's already come, and you couldn't be more one with him than you are right now. Now, the implications of this are so enormous. Okay, do you want to, we can lose that for a moment now. The implications of this are so enormous. Now, just so I know, am I highlighted or am I not highlighted? Because I don't want to be in my screen, but I think probably, there we go. Whereas for me, I'm going to put it on gallery because I hate looking at myself. There we go. That's better. The implications are humongous. How many of you remember the water in the glass and the glass in the water illustration from Living Free back in the day? I'm not going to do that tonight, but when the water is in the glass, the person is in Christ, and Christ is in the person. The water is now in the glass, and the glass in the water. Everything that Jesus has is now in you. Everything that Jesus is now in you. Your nature has changed to be in your spirit like him. Now that sounds very simple, and it is very simple until we begin to, as we're going to do in a minute, we're going to begin to open up the idea that God is fire and so are you. Your new nature is fiery, which means you can come into God's holy, fiery presence and be safe. Because you are like him. He is light and you are light. He is fire and you are fire. He is wind and you are wind. These are your different aspects of your supernatural spiritual nature. And they all operate slightly differently because they're all speaking of different aspects of what it means to be a spirit being one with in union with God. And I think that part of our journey is exploring the different expressions that the scripture uses describe us and our spirit nature. Because I remember years and years ago hearing someone say, you are becoming what you already are. You're becoming what you already are. You're already these things, and only, and the worst thing is when we don't know it, so we can't become it. When we're actually eagles with DNA and we behave like budgerigars, you know, and this is the journey into spirit life. And most church structures treat Christians as budgerigars. They're there to listen to talks, support the structures, keep things going, turn up, put the tithe in. But not many places are actually training people to be truly supernatural because church might look really rather different. If we actually did. That's a whole nother topic. Your nature, my nature is 100. You are beyond, as I think Justin Abraham calls it, you're beyond human. You're 100% human, but you're 100% divine. You're a 200% person. You share in his divine nature. So if God is fire, you are fire. If God is light, you are light. If God is power, you have power. And we have a look at Colossians 3, verse 10. It's going to come up. So he's talking about behavior within the church and how we live. And he says, do not lie to each other. But then he says this, since you, because we can live this new life, this new creation life for this reason. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Let's just pull that apart a little bit. What's the old self? That's the old steward who wasn't in union with Christ. The old, separate, independent, self-sufficient man whose spirit wasn't yet alive in Christ, living his life as best he could, doing his things that he thought was the shaped by my culture, my background, my family. That person is now put off. He's now dead. He doesn't exist any longer. because the new self is the self in Christ that's in union. So the old separation is now ended and the union has come. Now, that new self, look at the process, which is being renewed. So we've all got to accept the fact that there is a process for all of us in moving into our new self in its fullness. It may be already birthed in us, but it needs to develop, grow, be renewed. And it's being renewed in knowledge. Now, the knowledge here does not mean if I read enough books, if I had enough information, if I had enough good doctrine, then I would be renewed in the image of my Creator. That's not what it means. It's the knowledge of experience and revelation of of God Himself that is shaping us. In us, we become that which we have revelation of. We become that which we have revelation of. So when the Spirit reveals an aspect, an element, a nuance, a flavor of the nature of God to us, and we embrace it and dwell on it and mull on it and meditate on it, and we yield and surrender ourselves, we begin to be like that. We're shaped like it. I don't know if there's any other way of learning on the planet that compares to this. Almost every other way of learning on the planet, whether you're studying for a degree, whether you're learning some new skills, whether you're trying to get your golf swing better, whether you're trying to learn how to run effectively, a 10K, you're doing it. It's hard work. And the thing about this revelation transformation that comes for the new creation is it doesn't come by hard work. I'm not saying there's not hard work that comes out of it, choice, but the essence of the transformation comes by revelation. So we begin to become like that which we know. And this revelation is in order that you and I are being transformed into the image of our Creator. In us human new creation beings on the planet, who also carry the nature of the Creator. We don't get this by information, we get this by encounter, by gazing, by looking, by yearning, by seeking, by pursuing. And all of this revelation is found in the person of Christ. Now, I suppose I wanted to say this at the beginning because I think for all of us, this is a process that all of us will make step by step by step transformation and change as we embrace a kingdom process and learn to do it differently to the way we try and learn the piano, or the way we try and learn French, or the way we try and learn the new computer operating system. It's a different thing, and we've all got to unlearn many ways that perhaps made us even quite successful in life. We're having to relearn how to learn, how to grow, and how to change. And it all comes down to yielding, surrendering, seeking, and pursuing, becoming little children that attract the revelation because we don't know. We just don't know. We don't have the answers. Now, it says this in Colossians. So a little bit early in Colossians, Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, my goal is that he says that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So there really is the possibility, guys, of us coming into a complete understanding. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. In order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, so we can know mysteries, have mystical revelation and understanding. But here's the thing, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The revelation that you and I need to grow in this new creation reality, to become who we are in spirit, and in sharing the divine nature. The revelation of that is hidden. That's why you can't just go and get it from a book and read it. The revelation is hidden in the person of Christ. And he releases it and reveals to our hearts what we need when we need it on our journey if we're positioned to seek him, to desire him, and to know him. It is a very strange thing to embrace a deep sense of weakness and not knowing and not understanding and not having the answers. It goes against the human grain. We feel like if I could get it, I could control it, then I'd have the knowledge and I could make it happen. I had a friend who's he back in at Christchurch, he was learning to be a taxi driver in London. He had to learn the knowledge. He had to control, own the knowledge, have the knowledge. It was under his control, then he knew exactly where to go and what to do. That's not how this works. It comes by the Spirit to hearts that are yielded and surrendered and are seeking and are waiting for God to reveal things that only He can do and only we can receive uniquely. I think this Jacob's ladder, this ladder up into the heavens, this journey up into heavens, you know, every one of us has a okay, Helen, you can probably get rid of that scripture now. Every one of us has our own unique ladder, our own unique staircase. You know, Jeremy and Carol, your staircase is different to Richard's, which is different to Lisa's, which is different to Mel's, which is different to Mark and Liz in Wales. Only you can go up your staircase and ascend up into the heavens, led by the Spirit, because I can open up things for you, and we'll talk about being what it means to be have to be fiery ones. But it might be that that's not where God's going to take you the next week. He might be showing you how to live in the river. He might be showing you how to be light beings. He might be showing you what it is to let the Spirit flow through you like water, like oil. There's so many expressions because your spirit is multifaceted. As a person, you're multifaceted. You have humor, you have intellect, you have creativity, you have your character, person. You are multifaceted. Your spirit is multifaceted because it's made in the image of God, and God himself is multifaceted. Jesus is a lamb, but he's a lion. And he's a conqueror, and he's a servant, and he's spirit. And he releases water into our lives. And we could go on and on. Because he expressed himself in so many different ways. And so it is with everyone born again of the Spirit. Many as we are like the wind. We don't know where they come from, where we're going. There's a flow and a life and a movement. Your spirit is dynamically alive and fluid and has motion and has life force. As we learn to flow in and through our spirits so that they lead our souls, which then leads our bodies, we are therefore taken up and begin to manifest heavenly reality more and more. Learning to live spirit life is something that Western Christians have very little understanding about. And I'm 63, been a Christian since I was 19. And I'm learning things I've never learned before because I've never heard it. And I'm just glad to get to do this for the next 20 years or however long. Maybe I'll make 120. Maybe I've got 57 years left. I don't want to think about it, by the way. But wow, what a chance. And I think this is what's coming to the church increasingly over the next 20, 30 years. And on and on and on, to be honest. There's a whole new level of revelation coming to the bride of Christ that she would manifest the beauty and the glory and the wonder of her spiritual nature. Because he is coming back for a beautiful bride, not a bedraggled bride who's just waiting to be rescued. which is what most people's eschatology leads them to. He's coming back for a beautiful bride who is shiny in glory. That's what the New Jerusalem, end of Revelation. The New Jerusalem is not a city, it's a people. It's the bride. Just imagery around gates and jewels to describe what he has deposited within his people. But we're not going to live in a city. It's the people. She is the bride of Christ. And that's why the Revelation ends beautifully, because he comes to his city, he comes to his people, and she manifests on the earth as a beautiful bride. That's where we're going to. That's the beautiful end of the story. And in many ways, many of us have to relearn our thinking about the end times, because we've been taught it's going to be miserable in many, many places. But the good news is that's not how Revelation ends. And heaven is, just so you know, heaven is on earth. It's not you go somewhere and you end up on a sky in a cloud. Heaven, we're praying, Lord, on earth as in heaven, and that will be fulfilled. That prayer, the Lord's prayer, will be utterly fulfilled, and heaven will come to earth. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. They will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, but we will rule and reign on the earth and in the spirit, because it will all be one. There won't be this distinction where we can't see the spirit realm. We will then be able to, we'll be restored in what we lost at Genesis. We will see the spirit realm. It won't be hidden to us. There won't be any unseen realms anymore. It will all be seen, because we'll have eyes to see it. Anyway, slightly off point. So, let me just throw a thought your way. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm just looking at the time. I want to make sure we have enough time to do stuff. Yeah. I think that it's really significant, because God, when God sees you, when God knows you, when God looks upon you, he is looking upon you according to your spirit nature. That's why he can relate to you without any fear on your behalf or my behalf. When we're not frightened of relating to God, because we meet him spirit to spirit, and there is no condemnation, because he meets us according to our holy, pure, clean, glorified spirit nature. But it's really important for you and I that we have an understanding of what our spirit, how does our spirit operate differently to our soul and our body. Next Saturday, in fact, this is coming Friday, Saturday, and then we're doing one at the end of November on a Friday, Saturday, the last Friday, Saturday of November. Steve and I are doing a Friday, Saturday in Loughton this weekend. And then we're doing one the following end of November down here in Wycroft Hall in Devon. And all that information should come through on emails to you. And there should be flyers, and there's still space, and we'd love you to come. And one of the sessions I want to do very specifically this Saturday, and I'll do it again in November probably, if the Lord so leads, is to spend a whole session and looking what is your spirit and how does it work? Because if you don't own it, and if you can't see it, and if it's not real to you, then your ability to flow in your spirit is severely limited. If you didn't know you had a car out in the drive, and you didn't know which car it was and which one you had keys for, you'd be severely limited in going anywhere. The more you know, understand, appreciate, and can work with your spirit nature, in union with Christ and the Spirit of God, the more you can actually activate it and go somewhere and use it. It's a bit like learning to ride. And it's something I think the horse imagery is really interesting, because a lot of prophetic imagery centers often, if you've been in prophetic groups, horses come up again and again and again. There are horses in heaven. I don't know if you know that. There are horses. It refers to many times in scripture, heavenly horses. And I think there is a symbolism here around your spirit, Because your spirit can, like Shadowfax and Lord of the Rings, your spirit can take you places with power that left to your two legs you can't do. And there's flow and there's power and there's movement and there's life. And we need to learn how to ride. We need to learn how to partner with the spirit in our spirit so we're able to move with God. That means we can have deeper union, deeper revelation, deeper resonance. And here's where I'm just wanting to throw this in as like setting up what we're going to do in a moment. I would dare to suggest that 90% of your time when you pray alone should be spent engaging in intimacy and union, flowing with his presence, enjoying his presence, coming in as a being of light into the light and celebrating being in the light. As we'll see in a minute, being a man or woman of fire, coming into the fire of God's presence, the consuming fire where you're not destroyed, and enjoying being there. In other words, your nature, your being, your essential who you are needs time to enjoy and appreciate it. And if 90% of your time praying is asking for things, praying for things, what'll happen is you basically are like an athlete who's not looking after their body and just wants to run in races. You need to really look after your spirit and revel in your union and go deep into your intimacy and spend time in the heavens to whatever level you've got revelation, and never to beat yourself up for going, oh, I should have more revelation. If I was more spiritual, and it would all be glory. And that's one of the enemy's biggest strategies. Be thankful for where you are and what God's doing, and be grateful you're on the journey. But spend a lot of time being, resting, enjoying, reveling, soaking, seeing, gazing, yearning. Because a lot of the time, as Christians, we're presenting to God our best side, and he doesn't want that. He wants you. And he wants reality, and he wants to infuse you and transform you from the inside. And that comes by faith, by seeing, by gazing, by believing, by receiving, by enjoying his presence and his presence in you, spirit to spirit. If you want to go deeper into God, he has to go deeper into you. So both works both ways. You can't go deeper into God without God coming deeper into you. And if you let God come deeper into you, you'll find yourself going deeper into him. Now, how are we doing in terms of, in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about fire, and we're going to do some exercises around the fact that God is fire and you are fire. In a moment. Helen, we got any questions come up? Any stuff in the chat? No? Wow. Either I'm not doing my job or I am doing my job. I'm not quite sure.
Just approval and thumbs up.
Oh, thank you. I never see any of that.
You're blowing us away.
What? Okay, well, just stop a moment. Is anybody got have a thought or a question at this point around what I'm saying? And I wanted, and just, this is not meant for super spiritual giants. This is for every child of God. It's just we've got to learn to do the right things in the right way and break a lot of religious activity that's gunked us up. It's gunked us up. Richard, you put your hand up.
I mean, Stuart, it's just extraordinary, your insights, honestly, going into the heavenly realms and giving us all these insights, really, really helpful. I've never heard anything like this before. I guess a lot of us haven't, but it's so helpful to be able to, know that we can develop a spirit side. And I know it sounds silly, but you sort of give me permission to do it, and that sounds really daft.
Good.
But actually, it's really, really helpful. Thank you, because that's sort of the encouragement that, it marks out stuff. It's good.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Richard. I hope we might get to see you when you go. Richard's about to go to Uganda, so I'm hoping maybe you'll join us from Uganda.
I might bring some pastors along with me, so
Ah, come on.
be warned.
Love it. And and maybe next time we'll talk a bit about spirit, soul, and body, and because you can break it up badly or you can understand it healthily, and yeah. That we'll do that another time probably. Anybody else? If you do, just speak because I can't see everyone's screen on my screen. All right. Brilliant. All right, so let's get into this now in the next 35 minutes. Let's talk about fire. And I feel I've got a little bit of revelation. Everything on the earth is an expression of a heavenly reality. So fire on the earth is an expression of a supernatural, unseen realm reality. God's nature is a recurring theme, is a God of fire. The burning bush, where the bush was consumed but not destroyed. I love the idea that God wants to consume us without destroying us, and that we can be consumed without being destroyed now in our new creation reality. Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, he's got fire coming out of his eyes. Hebrews tells us he's a consuming fire. And now that you and I are one in spirit with him, your spirit is ablaze. One of its attributes, one of its facets, one of its multi-dimensional aspects is fire. So why don't we just take a moment? Can we put up the picture of fire, Helen? So I just want you to, with a piece of paper, just for a moment, write down on a piece of paper five properties of fire. Just naturally, we're just thinking natural at the moment, five aspects of fire that we experience on the earth. Okay, so just again, we're just thinking naturally for a moment. What sort of stuff do people write that? Right, just go for it. Just brainstorm a moment. Everyone, come off on mute. It's fine, and just throw in a thought. Properties of
Heat.
fire:
Heat.
heat. Oh, well done.
Bright.
Bright, light,
Moving.
moving. Yeah.
Flame.
Yeah.
Consuming.
Consumes power,
Cleansing.
absolutely.
Cleansing.
Comforting
Color. No.
color, absolutely. And different flames have different colors. I know of people who've met angels who are blue flames because blue is one of the most intense forms of heat there is, fire there is. That's an interesting one.
I didn't
So I think someone already mentioned cleansing, but sort of searing.
Cleansing, refining,
Renewing.
it's both healing and it can be destructive. It can be
Yeah,
very
you could say pain.
destruction and
Purifying.
size, size of it.
So,
Burrows. Burning.
exactly.
It's easy to like multiply.
It
Yeah,
is. It
size
spreads.
growth.
It spreads.
Wow. Yeah.
And you might want to do sometime do an actual study on fire. What is it? It's oxygen. It requires the fuel to
Cool.
burn, and it requires a spark, which is heat. Those three things are needed for a fire. Now, when you stop, you can mull on the stuff and meditate on this stuff. But think about it for a moment. Fire is impersonal on the earth, but in the heavens, what is it? It's living. It's like living water, living colors, living river, living light. It's living fire because it's an expression of the nature of God as it manifests out from him. So we've got words like love and holiness and purity and fluidity and movement and energy and healing and destroying and comforting and guiding and protection. If you think about our, if we were first century Jews, fire is very important if you're in the desert to keep away the animals. You got God, and we have the fire in the desert, didn't we, with Israel, guiding at night and keeping them warm at night when it was freezing. So we've got the nature of God coming through the medium of fire. Now stop and think about it. How did the Spirit come at Pentecost?
Fire, tongues of fire.
Came as wind, came as fire. Now fire, and where we go to, he manifests himself as fire on each person. But once we understand the new creation, it's not just the Spirit sits on us, the Spirit's in us. We now are fire carriers because the God who is fire now lives within your spirit and you share in his nature and he's conforming you into his image, which is to be a man or a woman who carries fire and who is fire.
We're fire starters.
Yeah, as long as we can first stop and be fire carriers and fire beings before we try and fire start. It's again, we're talking about that the flow comes out of being and a new nature, not out of any sort of effort for trying to make things happen, which is massively one of the challenges of our culture and of the church. Can we put up image two, please? That's the best I could find online. It's a being of fire with a human shape. Your spirit looks much like you, but who you truly are, not necessarily who we see in front of us every day. Your true nature, your true manifestation of who you are. Just stop a moment and just meditate on that picture. And dare to let it be you. And dare to see yourself at some point, switch off the picture and see yourself as a being of fire. Let me give you 4 or 5 minutes on this. There's no rush. Just take some time. Look at the picture, come out of it. Go back to the picture, come out of it. Some of you will find it easier. Some of you won't. We'll find it a little harder. That's fine. We'll just take our time. No rush. And just ask the Lord to help you own your spirit as being carrying his presence and his fire in it. And it's okay to use your words to thank him. Thank him for that you carry his fire, that you're a being of fire. You can activate faith and thank him that you carry his light, his light, his holiness, his love, his spontaneous fluidity and life, his comfort, his healing. His authority to destroy the evil. So it doesn't need to be somber silence. It can be very natural and flow in and out of silence and quiet and meditation, and then use your words and turn your heart upwards and allow yourself to flow with this. If you're struggling and it's doing your head in, just ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. Can you see yourself full of fire?
Yeah.
You might need to almost see yourself as if you're looking at yourself to begin with, till you can be in it, and it can be you. That's okay. You can feel the fire, the living fire in your toes, your legs. Your body flowing through you. Now try this. Let's take it one step on. See a door in front of you. See one of these portals we've talked about, these open doors into a heavenly realm. And on the other side, it's full of fire. It could be the mountain of fire. It could be a realm of fire.
Or is the fire?
However you see it, as the Holy Spirit shows you, now as a being of fire, you can go in. It's against all human instincts to go into fire. But in this case, we absolutely go in because we're like him and he is like us. And we're welcomed in. So wherever the Lord shows you, go in. Step in. And just be a flame. Just allow awe and reverence and wonder awaken in you. We should be allowed into these exalted places. Because of our union, which is all grace, undeserved, a gift of great love to us. And if you need healing, just very consciously invite and welcome the fire into those places in your body or your soul that need transformation and healing. When you're ready, but I don't want to anyone to come out of deep encounter too quickly. But when you're ready, allow the Lord to bring someone to mind who you know. And in your spirit, go to them. Lay your hand on their head, however you see where you are with them. Let your spirit go to them. And allow fire to flow into them, especially if they need healing. You can see fire as flames. You can also see it as like the heat. In a red hot poker, the fire, a deep, deep burning red, white fire that's right in the essence of the thing. Give it away. Release it by faith. And watch and see it go and flow in and consume the cancer. And then just practice going back in through that doorway, or the portal, or the arch, or whatever, however you saw it. Once you learn to do this, you can go back any time, and then the spirit will almost certainly take you on your own unique journey as things progress. Only he can show you. When you're ready, once begin to sort of come back to planet Earth. Okay. If you're away with the angels in the heavens, just feel free to stay there. What's interesting is you can come in and out of this stuff without necessarily being earth-shattering every time. Almost like we're learning how to. I think it's part of this process from the Colossian process of being renewed is by doing this every day in some shape or form, doing supernatural revelatory exercises that focus on who you are in him and he is in you and your new nature and your new heavenly realities and getting used to it. And then the more you receive it by faith, the more you are being transformed into it and being renewed in his image. Let me clear the big, all the pictures up again, all the people rather than take away the area. All right, we got a couple of minutes just before we finish. One of the joys of doing, whether you come to Waycroft or come to Loughton or do something next year, is giving it like a day with other people, time to soak in it, to talk, to pray, to worship in the spirit. And there's such a reshaping and relearning for most of us to be able to live like this. And I find that at times I absolutely feel this is so deeply, utterly, way more real than my chair and my desk and the little shed I'm sitting in and my computer. And if I don't stay consistently, I'll begin to go, I'm mad, I'm an idiot, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. Surely this is reality. I'm just away with the fairies. You know, it's make believe, my life's not perfect, so how can this be all that stuff? And so, but I find myself deeply impacted by the New Testament to the degree to which this was absolutely real and normal for them. Real and normal for them. And we've unlearned so much in 2,000 years in the West. We've learned a bunch of stuff too. I'm not saying it's all doom and gloom, but we can do a lot of things, but the supernatural flavor of the church needs to be recovered. We need to be way more weird than we are. I mean that in those are all the right ways. Different. A very, very different type of people. Because the new creation reality is so remarkable. When that starts manifesting on the planet to the, beyond what we've known, I think that's what revival is going to, the next revival is move of God is going to be all about, rather
Amen.
than a flash in the pan. It's a massive change. Anybody want to make any comments just before we finish?
Can I just share something that
Maria, yeah, absolutely.
I just saw a picture of a star of the sun and just became aware that the sun is actually a star, and we've been talking about light for a while, and this whole idea that light and the sun and even fire is not static, it's moving. This whole element of just we always think of there's so many scriptures about the sun of righteousness and Jesus being like the sun, and just this power that is not static and that's in us and therefore not static within us. Whereas I've always visualized the sun as a static force, or myself as, you know, that sense of light being static within me, when actually it's not. It's powerful, it's moving, it's constantly flowing.
Great insight, Maria. You know, I found myself thinking about the sun as well when we were doing it, and how it has an inexhaustible supply of fire. It doesn't go out. And in the same way, you and I carry an inexhaustible eternal supply of fire that won't go out. Anybody else have any thoughts? Comments? I know it's dawn don't normally. Yeah, go for it, Richard. And Mark, did you put your hand up? Go for it, Mark.
No, it was me. No,
Oh,
I
hi, Liz.
was just going to say, it's the bizarrest thing, the sense of breathing in fire and breathing out fire, smelling it and tasting it. And I had the same thing when we did the water thing, and it comes back to me a lot. But I can, it's like I like eating fire. It's like an enjoyable sensation, and how can that be when fire would burn you? But it was amazing.
It's living presence, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's so different? It's an alive reality of this deeply love. It's love. I mean, it's why you can be in the river of life and not drown. You can breathe in the river of life when you go swimming. You go
Yeah.
deep because it's
Yeah.
life. It messes with our well. It's a symbolic and imagery and it's real, but it's imagery and it's imagery, but it's real. Yeah, it just takes a while to get accustomed, attuned, resonate well with these things.
Wow. Thank you.
Richard, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I had this very strange feeling that there was a dark spirit near me, and I put my hand out to stop it. And that fire, it wasn't like a fire, it wasn't like a flamethrower. I didn't need to do anything. It was just make the fire available.
Yeah.
And it disappeared. And then I became aware that fire comes to fire and it doesn't affect it. You know, I could walk to somebody that had fire in them and the fire can join, but the fire wouldn't join the person that wasn't of the light. And it was quite powerful that that person disappeared or that whatever. But other people, and then I felt I could walk into a fiery, you know, somewhere in that portal where there's a lot of fire, and I wanted to go in there. And it wasn't, it was just, it was very inviting, that warmth and all that sort of thing. But there was a strange dynamic there. It was really lovely knowing that I could be with fire and be more comfortable in with fire around me.
Brilliant. Like in Christ, Moses longed to be like us. Moses longed to be like us. He looked for a day with better, with a better covenant and better promises as Hebrews. And he went up into the fire on the mountain. He didn't die. And he came down glowing. We're allowed up onto the mountain, and the mountain is the realm of God's presence in the Old Testament. Well, we are always in on Mount. We've already come to Mount Zion. We've come to thousands of angels. We've come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. We've already come to it. They use that language because it was real to them. It's just incredible. It's beautiful. So, folks, love to see Friday, Saturday. Follow the link on the emails. Love to see you at Waycroft Hall. We're back again next month. Thank you so much for being part of it. You're welcome to invite friends, and everyone's welcome. And yeah, God bless you so much. May you sleep well. May you rest well.